welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Press, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This morning, we're going to continue our reading and discussion of the book, A Woman Rides the Beast, by Dave Hunt. We're currently in the chapter entitled, What About Mary? We're talking about the study of Mary, that is, Mariology, and the worship of Mary, Mariolatry. And before I even begin, I want to remind my listeners we have a so-called Holy Day coming up, St. Valentine's Day. It's veneration of a Roman Catholic saint, St. Valentine, who is said to be the patron saint of lovers. It's wholly pagan. It has nothing to do with Christ or the Bible. It is an abomination, and God is not amused. So please, my listeners, don't send me St. Valentine's greetings. Now, we'll continue where we left off yesterday in the book, backing up only one paragraph for continuity purposes. Page 446, the first full paragraph, if you're following along in your own copy of the book. Dave Hunt says, Christ paid the debt for our sins, and with his blood purchased our salvation, which is offered freely by God's grace to all who will receive it. There's no mention whatsoever of Mary in the gospel which Paul and the early church preached. To suggest that Mary must or even can in any way obtain for us the grace of eternal salvation, which is taught in the Roman Catholic Church, is a denial of the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross for our sins, and a rejection of the grace and love of God and Christ. Catholics try to explain it away, but the fact is that Catholicism's Mary is exalted above Christ and God. Now, subtitled Mariology and Mariolatry, Dave writes, there are conservative Roman Catholics who consider Pope John Paul II to be a betrayer of their church because of his acceptance of other religions. Now, I'm going to stop and make a comment here. What offends me the most about the Roman Catholic Church embracing all the other cults in the world is the fact that the Roman Catholic Church, for all of its existence, has persecuted every non-Catholic religion, waged wars and crusades. We're currently on Lori's Talk News Radio, reading Vietnam, Why Did We Go? We find out that it was a Roman Catholic crusade against the Buddhists in Vietnam in an attempt to Roman Catholicize South Vietnam and use Vietnam as a beachhead for the Catholicization of all of Asia. It was not a war against communism. The Pope of Rome had cooperation from the communist leader of North Vietnam to do what they did. It was a war against non-Catholic religions. And we know about the Holocaust. We've talked about it repeatedly here on Inquisition Update, how Pope Pius XI and Pope Pius XII literally created Hitler's Nazi regime and the religious persecutions that took place against Jews and Protestants and Orthodox. We've, to a lesser extent, talked about the persecution of the Orthodox in Russia during the First World War, and history has forgotten, or at least Protestants, or at least students in the schools of this country have forgotten all the Holy Roman Crusades against the Moors and the Saracens, the Muslims, the Arabs. For all of Rome's history, she has killed non-Catholics as a divine service to God, to exterminate all heresy from off the earth, to make the world Roman Catholic. The Bible clearly describes the Roman Catholic Church as the woman that rides the scarlet-colored beast, is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. It's the bloodiest institution in history, and she does not discriminate. She's an equal opportunity destroyer. So every religion in the world has suffered martyrdoms at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church, the woman riding the beast in Revelation chapter 17. Now, after all of that bloody history, nearly 1,800 years of bloodshed, the papacy now stretches out his hands to all the religions of the world? What an insult! And if the world's religions could comprehend the history of the Roman Catholic Church, and now the recent about-face of the Roman Catholic Church to reach out to all the other religions in the world in an attempt to create a one-world religion under the Pope's authority, if justice would be served, if those religions use the same measure of righteousness that the Roman Catholic Church uses, they would see it as an admission that every drop of blood that the Roman Catholic Church has shed for nearly 2,000 years was an admitted mistake. Those that she used to slaughter and torture and burn at the stake, steal their property, rape their women, burn their churches, killed by the millions and millions and untold millions around the world for 1,800 years, has now admitted she was wrong and wishes to embrace all the religions of the world. And if they all could understand in a day the history of the Roman Catholic Church and what they've suffered at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church for 1,800 years, you know what the justice would result? There wouldn't remain standing upon the earth one Roman Catholic Church. There would not remain standing on the earth one Roman Catholic idol or image or anything left of the Roman Catholic Church. It would be destroyed lock, stock, and barrel. This global church that Rome is creating, this ecumenical movement that is now embracing every religion upon the earth, is an admission. It should be seen as an admission coming from Rome itself that she shed blood all throughout her history, and now she's repudiating it. Now, people would say, Tom, that's extremely harsh. Not in comparison to the history of Israel, when Israel repented of her idolatry, and the king of Israel went throughout all the land and destroyed all the groves and all the high places and all the obelisks, stopped pagan worship. Do you realize that when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom, all those places will be destroyed? There will be nothing left of them. No wonder Roman Catholics are offended by the ecumenical movement. Conservative Roman Catholics who believe that the Roman Catholic Church is the one holy Roman Catholic and apostolic church outside of which there is no salvation, and that it is their spiritual responsibility to create a global Christian faith, a global Roman Catholic faith, has now turned to ecumenism to embrace every religion, including the current Pope, who's reached out to atheists. Those Tridentine Roman Catholics who hold to the tenets of the Council of Trent and believe it is their divine right to exterminate and annihilate heresy from off the earth, and have hundreds of years of demonstrating their dedication, their bloody dedication to rout out heresy and to destroy all other religions, now embraces all other religions? Certainly you can understand why the Roman Catholic Church... I was recently talking to a Roman Catholic who said, it's amazing that someone hasn't already tried to attempt to assassinate the current Pope, Jorge Bergoglio, because of his ecumenical movement and because of his outreach to atheism. How many atheists has Rome claimed throughout her history? And now she wants to reach out to atheists? If the same righteousness that Rome has meted out to the world were applied to her today, after her tacit admission that she was wrong in killing Buddhists and Hindus and Christians and Jews and Orthodox, the whole world would turn against her, and there would be left nothing remaining standing of her in the world. That's Rome's righteousness, total annihilation, just like she tried to annihilate the Waldenses and the Albigensians and the Huguenots and the Hussites and the Protestants and the Jews and the Orthodox and the Buddhists. just to name a few. Now she's embracing all of them, wants them all to come to her breast. It's amazing what is happening in the world. And it's even more amazing that the world can't wake up to the reality of history. And do unto her, render unto her double what she has rendered unto them. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. That day is coming. Well, I don't know when, but the day is coming when the world will wake up to the error of the Roman Catholic Church and mete out to her the justice that she has meted out to the rest of the world throughout her history. There won't be anything left. Okay, I'll continue now. I hope I've made the point. It says there are conservative, and you can take that to mean Tridentine Roman Catholics, those who hold to the Council of Trent. There are conservative Roman Catholics who consider Pope John Paul II to be a betrayer of their church because of his acceptance of other religions. Yet they are united with him in his devotion to Mary. Okay? They can't mete out justice to their own church because they might offend Mary, whom they all believe in. He says the powerful expose of the Pope's ecumenism titled, Peter, Lovest Thou Me?, is dedicated, quote, to the Immaculate Heart of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, unquote. For Mary's heart to be immaculate, she must have been sinless. Yet the Bible unequivocally declares, quote, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Mary herself rejoiced in God as her Savior, see Luke chapter 1, verse 47, and only sinners need a Savior. Christ clearly said, quote, there is none good but one, that is God, Matthew 19:17, Mark 10:18. No exception is made for Mary anywhere in the Bible. If the accusation were made that Mary is their chief deity, almost every Roman Catholic would deny it vehemently. That is, however, the way it works out in practice. It is said that when Mary commands, even God obeys. When Mary lays down the law, even God obeys. That's what is taught in the Roman Catholic Church. What began as Mariology, the study of Mary, gradually became Mariolatry, the worship of Mary, as the thousands of prayers to Mary, which attribute to her everything from salvation to omnipotence, testify. A popular tract entitled, The Rosary, Your Key to Heaven, declares, quote, the Rosary is a means of salvation, because a true child of Mary is never lost, and one who says the Rosary daily is truly Mary's child. Mary is our all-powerful advocate, and she can obtain from the heart of her divine Son whatever is good for her children. No one is beyond redemption if he turns to Mary Immaculate, unquote. The fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins and offers eternal life as a free gift of his grace means nothing without Mary, according to the Roman Catholic Church. Though the Bible never even hints at such a thing, and though Paul never preached it or told it to anyone, yet for the Roman Catholic, Mary has become the essential conduit through which salvation and all grace flows. Jesus and God the Father play an important role too, but it is Mary who brings everything together and dispenses all God's gifts to those who through devotion to her become, quote-unquote, her children. This blasphemous dogma is taught without any biblical basis whatsoever. Nowhere does the Bible suggest that anyone becomes a quote-unquote child of Mary. According to the biblical gospel, we become, quote, the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:16. Yet, in Roman Catholicism, one becomes a child of Mary with the promise that, quote, no true child of Mary will ever perish, unquote. Again, she has usurped the place of Christ. Yes, Roman Catholicism acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men, 1 Timothy 2:5. But, Mary is the mediatrix between mankind and Christ. Quote, the short road to Jesus, unquote. Quote, Jesus, the reservoir of all graces, and Mary is the conduit whereby they are brought to us. Jesus desires that his own mother be our immediate advocate, to whom we entrust our wants, and she shall present them to Jesus, unquote. So in Roman Catholicism, Jesus is the reservoir, but Mary is the pipeline. Nothing can get from the reservoir to your house, from Jesus to your house, unless it goes through Mary, the pipeline. He says, thus prayers to God, though in Christ's name and through him, require Mary's intervention. Indeed, quote unquote, all graces come by means of Mary's, quote, powerful intercession, unquote. Quoting, O God of infinite goodness and mercy, fill our hearts with a great confidence in our most holy Mother, whom we invoke under the title of Immaculate Heart of Mary, and grant us by her most powerful intercession all the graces, spiritual and temporal, which we need, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Even in their prayers they blaspheme the Savior, putting all of the importance upon Mary. He says the Bible is very clear that we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. John 15:16 and 16:23. Never is there the slightest suggestion that we must come to Christ through Mary, much less that Mary herself is to be petitioned and answers prayers on her own initiative and in her own power. Yet Mary's function as an intermediary to Christ and her powerful intervention on behalf of and protection of those who call upon her is both taught in Roman Catholicism and testified to by Roman Catholics. A convict in prison who converted to Roman Catholicism testified in Keating's book, It says, a convict in prison who converted to Roman Catholicism testified in Keating's This Rock magazine to the transformation in his own life and what, quote, the Holy Spirit, unquote, did for other convicts who were also, quote, unquote, converted. There is little about Christ other than making the sign of the cross, but much about the church and about the Catholic community and, of course, about Mary. The article stresses the spiritual fruits of the prison ministry demonstrated by the converted convicts all participating in an act of total consecration, not to Christ or God, however, but to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Quote, now this is from the magazine, this is the Roman Catholic convert in prison. He says, I knew it was Mother who had called them, that is the converts, to her heart. I realized we could work things out so that the consecration could be made as a group in public when Archbishop Liscombe was scheduled to be here for the confirmation. The only time we could all get together for our group preparation was at 6:30 in the morning on the recreation yard. So that's what we did for 33 consecutive days. Murderers, rapists, burglars, drug dealers, and arsonists. These men sacrificed daily to meet for the Mother of God. Each day they withstood cold, wind, rain, and ridicule to prepare their hearts and souls for a total consecration to the Mother of the perfect prisoner. The big day came. Just before the apostolic blessing at the close of Mass, Archbishop Liscombe allowed the public consecration. We all filed past a borrowed statue of Our Lady, each man stopping to bow in her honor, and lined up before the altar and then knelt. Since I led the consecration prayers, I couldn't see what was going on around me. I was told later that the archbishop and the priest who accompanied him appeared to be fighting emotion during the ceremony. After all, before them knelt 13 hardened criminals, converts all, who had become innocent little children at the feet of their mother, unquote. Subtitled, Mary Crushes the Serpent's Head, this is a twisting of the scripture that is taught in the Roman Catholic Church that my listeners should be aware of. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 provides the first promise of the Messiah. God is speaking to the serpent, Satan. He said, quote, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that is the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Messiah, shall bruise thy, the serpent's head, and thou, Satan, shalt bruise his, that is the Messiah's heel. Yet Roman Catholic translations of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, for years have said that, quote, she, the woman, shall bruise Satan's head. Who is the woman in the Roman Catholic Church that they call Mary? If you read carefully what Rome teaches, Mary equates to the Roman Catholic Church. And it's the Roman Catholic Church, the Mother Church, who crushes Satan's head. We'll talk about it more when we get back from the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio.
It first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Have you seen the Left Behind movies? Have you read the Left Behind fictional book series? Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. Because they see the world stage shaping to fulfill what they have been led to believe is sound biblical interpretation, a left-behind rapture scenario, this false view of prophecy is reinforced in the mind, not only of its adherents, but also includes those who have been merely exposed to the specific media. Is it possible that false prophecy can be fulfilled? The rapture theories have always been in dispute. Pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib disputes have risen up in exclusively evangelical circles of recent history. So that when true believers don't suddenly disappear, this element will easily go by the wayside when all see a new Jewish temple begin to be built. Will this be part of the great delusion that will come upon the whole earth? It seems that this great prophetic delusion has already overcome practically the entire American evangelical and Christian world. Get the book. The rapture will be canceled. To learn more, visit crosstheborder.org. That's C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio. If you'd like to support the program, please support First Amendment Radio, who sponsors the program. Now, before the break, we gave example how the Roman Catholic Church perverts Scripture, particularly Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. They pervert the Scriptures to say that it is Mary who will crush the serpent's head. The Bible says that God would place enmity between thee, that is Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. It, the seed of the woman, which was Jesus, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yet the Catholic translations of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, for years have said that she, the woman, shall bruise thy head. And the woman, according to the church, is Mary. It's Mary who will crush the head of the serpent. And Mary is simply a spokesman or an alter ego for the Roman Catholic Church. And all of Roman Catholic Church history demonstrates that it is the Roman Catholic Church who has tried to put down every other religion, destroy every other religion. Mary is simply an alter ego for the Roman Catholic Church. When the apparitions of Mary speak, it's the Roman Catholic Church that speaks. That's the historical reality. In truth, the Roman Catholic Church equates Mary with the Church, the Mother Church. And when Mary calls for war, the Roman Catholic Church calls for war. When Mary calls for crusades and inquisitions, the Roman Catholic Church calls for crusades and inquisitions. Quoting further, he says, the rosary, your key to heaven, cited above, says that Mary, quote, will crush the serpent's head, and all are in need of her help to get to heaven, unquote. Can you see the correlation? I mean, the Roman Catholic Church says you can't go to heaven outside the Roman Catholic Church. Mary is the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is Mary. Mary, the apparition, is just a manifestation of the Roman Catholic Church. Another emanation. It says, this abominable usurpation by the fictitious Roman Catholic Mary of Christ's place as victor over sin and Satan, persists as one of Roman Catholicism's major perversions of the truth. In Pope Pius IX's 1849 encyclical entitled Ubi Primum, he declared that Mary's, quote, foot has crushed the head of the serpent, unquote, and that it was Mary herself who, quote, always has delivered the Christian people from their greatest calamities and the snares and assaults of all their enemies, ever rescuing them from ruin, unquote. Again, she would have to be God to do all of this. On November 27th, 1830, Mary allegedly appeared in Paris to Catherine Labour with her heel on the serpent's head and ordered that a quote-unquote medal a medal be cast with this depiction of her victory over Satan. So they went about stamping out medals of this apparition of Mary with her foot on the serpent's head. It's called the Miraculous Medal. It's an amulet worn by devout Roman Catholics who are devoted to Mary. Dave continues, he says, quote, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal became extremely popular. This medal is still worn around the necks of millions of Roman Catholics for protection, many of whom swear that miracles have occurred for them as a result of wearing this amulet. Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal is only one of literally thousands of alleged appearances of the Catholic Virgin Mary around the world and down through the centuries. Such apparitions have been multiplying and their frequency accelerating in recent years. Some are not recognized by the Church as legitimate, but many of them are, and all, whether they're officially acknowledged or not, affect millions of Roman Catholics who look to them as evidence of the Catholic Mary is indeed the hope of the world. It is a woman who the Apostle John saw astride the beast. Does that fact include intimations of the strategic role that Rome's fraudulent Mary will play in the preparation of the world for Antichrist? We must consider that possibility carefully. Look, it was determined a long time ago by the Roman Catholic Church that she found, through all of her missionary work, the Jesuit missionaries around the world, one lowest common denominator of all the religions of the world is the worship of a virgin. The worship of a virgin. And Rome has capitalized on this use of Mary as the virgin deity to unite all the religions of the world. And she, this female deity, will become the standard among all the various religions. Now, we've concluded chapter 27. We'll continue now with chapter 28, entitled The Coming New World Order. This is what it's all coming down to. This chapter begins, as usual, with quotes. This quote from Time Magazine, excuse me once again, please. This quote from Time Magazine, quote, In an era when scientists debate the causes of the birth of the universe, both the adoration and the conflict attending Mary have risen to extraordinary levels. A grassroots revival of faith in the Virgin is taking place worldwide. Millions of worshipers are flocking to her shrines, many of them young people. Even more remarkable are the number of claimed sightings of the Virgin from Yugoslavia to Colorado in the past few years, unquote. Another quote from Robert Mueller, former UN Assistant Secretary General, he said, quote, There's no doubt that Paul VI, together with John XXIII and John Paul II, will be remembered as the three great popes of peace, pioneers of a momentous transcendence of the Catholic Church into the New Age. And finally, a quote from Pope John Paul II. On February 11th, the liturgy of the Church recalls every year the apparition of Our Lady at Lourdes. What role is Mary going to play in the New World Order? Chapter 28, The Coming New World Order, Dave Hunt writes, Time Magazine reports that there have been so many sightings of the so-called Virgin Mary around the world that, quote, the late 20th century has become the age of the Marian pilgrimage, to, unquote, to many shrines established to commemorate these appearances. Now listen to this. There are 937 Marian shrines in France alone. 937 shrines to this Virgin in France alone. From 1961 to 1965, there were about 2,000 visitations to northwest Spain's village of Garabandal, accompanied by occult phenomena and apocalyptic messages to the world. In 1983, hundreds of Palestinian Arabs, quote, saw the Virgin Mary, unquote, near Bethlehem, Israel. She has appeared in every corner of the world. Quote, there is also Dazul and Kilbeo in Rwanda, apparitions of Our Lady at Akita in Japan, apparitions in Chile, in Australia, and in Poland, in Canada, San Damiano, that is in Assisi, Italy, Cairo, Amsterdam, New York, unquote. These apparitions have brought millions of people to faith in Roman Catholicism's Mary. The shrine at Lourdes, France, attracts about 5.5 million pilgrims annually. Poland's Black Madonna draws 5 million. Fatima in Portugal draws a steady 4.5 million pilgrims a year from an ever-widening array of countries. Since John Paul II visited the shrine of Mary in Knock, Ireland, quote, attendance has doubled to 1.5 million people a year. To handle the flux, a new international airport was opened at Knox in 1986, unquote. And, quote, Mary, Queen of the Universe Shrine, unquote, has recently opened in Orlando, Florida. The Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe near Mexico City draws some 20 million visitors a year. We just say there's got to be money in Mary, isn't there? Lots and lots of money in Mary. Mary's popular protection is celebrated around the world, says Dave Hunt. Our Lady of Lanka, credited with preventing a Japanese invasion during World War II, has been the patron of Sri Lanka since 1948. Our Lady of Copacabana is, quote, the patron of the Bolivian Navy. Our Lady of Coromato, patron of Venezuela, unquote. Polish President Lech Walesa made a pilgrimage to Fatima where he, quote, offered prayers of thanks for the liberation of Poland, unquote. John Paul II believes, quote, Mary brought an end to communism throughout Europe, unquote. Similarly convinced, Moscow's Archbishop Kondruskowitz in 1991 made a pilgrimage to Fatima that was carried on primetime Soviet television. A shrine to, quote, Our Lady of Fatima, unquote, who appeared in the Soviet Union just before the Berlin Wall came down, will soon be established in Moscow in gratitude for her defeat of communism. Kondrusiewicz wants her shrine to be a perpetual reminder of that great conquest. Did you know Mary is a conqueror? So is the Roman Catholic Church. The apparitions consistently preach the coming world religion of Antichrist. All religions are basically the same and must come together for peace. Offering an ecumenical gospel that can be accepted by Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, or Jews, Mary declares, quote, everyone worships God in his own way with peace in our hearts, unquote. So says Our Lady of Medjugorje in southern Bosnia-Herzegovina, where visionaries claim that Mary has been appearing daily for the past 13 years in the heart of Ustashi, Croatia. What are all these apparitions really driving at? Apparitions and official Roman Catholic doctrine. Marian apparitions would hardly attract such a huge following if official dogmas did not support them. Catholics are taught to pray to Mary and are promised that she will protect them from every danger and supply their every need. Quoting Vatican Council II, the new Catechism of the Catholic Church declares, quote, from the most ancient times, the Blessed Virgin has been honored with the title Mother of God, to whose protection the faithful fly in all their dangers and needs, unquote. Here is official Roman Catholic doctrine from the highest level attributing to Mary authority and power which belong to God alone. Amazingly, this reference is quoted in This Rock, the premier Roman Catholic apologist magazine, in an article arguing that although a large percentage of Roman Catholics consider Mary to be equal with God, that view is not official church doctrine. But the quote proves it is. The quote, faithful fly to Mary for protection in all their dangers and needs, unquote. Could anyone less than God give protection to all the faithful and supply all their needs? In the entire Bible, there's not one prayer to Mary, not one instance of her miraculously helping anyone, nor any promise whatsoever that she would or could. From Genesis to Revelation, protection and help are sought from, promised by, and found in God and in Christ alone. This fact is attested by hundreds of verses, of which the following are only a small sampling. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. In God is my salvation. My refuge is in God. Psalm 62:7. The Lord is my refuge. In Him will I trust. Psalm 91:2. Fear not, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 41:14. Lord, save me. Matthew 14:30. Lord, help me. Matthew 15:25. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. The infinitely powerful and loving God and Christ, who is one with the Father, have protected, as promised, all who trusted in them through the centuries. Then why would anyone call upon Mary? Is she mightier than God? Or more compassionate, or more reliable, or quicker to respond? Though most Roman Catholics would deny it, Mary subtly displaces the Christian Trinity. The image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was credited with miracles during its recent tour of the United States. Some of the honors she receives in Mexico includes, quote, public buses in Mexico City suburbs have flower-adorned shrines to the Virgin on their dashboards. Mexican factories often post pictures of the Virgin to discourage bad behavior, and tens of thousands of annual pilgrims to the Basilica finish their journey crawling on their knees, unquote. To beseech Mary for help and protection implies that she is at least equal to God in power, and is preferred over God and Christ. This is not the Mary of the Bible, but the woman who rides the beast. Faith in Roman Catholicism's Mary, supported by her thousands of apparitions, prepares the way, as perhaps nothing else could, for a world religion, a new world order, and the reign of Antichrist. Subtitle, A Unique Role for the Amazing Mary, Dave says, worldwide, today's women are asserting themselves as never before in history. Contrary to popular opinion, quote, women instigate most domestic violence and hit men more frequently and more severely than men hit them, unquote. And violence is far more frequent in lesbian relationships than between husband and wife. Women are taking over what were once men's jobs, and there's a growing acceptance of women at the highest levels of leadership in business, government, and religion. Only God could have given John 1900 years ago a vision that so fits our day, a woman in control. From current trends, it seems inevitable that a woman must ride the beast, And of all the women in history, none rivals Roman Catholicism's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent Mary. Could it be that in preparation for her unique role in the New World Order astride the beast, she is now appearing to millions around the world in a dazzling display of power? The script is ingenious. John Paul II said, quote, Mary should inspire all who cooperate in the Church's apostolic mission for the rebirth of humanity. The Church journeys through time along the path already trodden by the Virgin Mary, unquote. The ecumenical power, the power to unite all the religions of the world of this Mary, the power of this Mary is found in the fact that she provides a new deity to whom the followers of all religions can look. A female deity in step with the spirit of our age. Even Protestants find her appealing. At a women's conference in November of 1993, quote, more than 2,000 participants recited a liturgy to a female deity, and in a ritual that resembled Holy Communion, the women partook of milk and honey to honor the goddess, unquote. A far-out New Age gathering? No. Quote, most of the participants represented mainline Protestant denominations, unquote. A woman Lutheran pastor, quote, boasted that Jesus Christ's name was never mentioned, unquote, while another church leader urged attendants to overthrow, quote, the patriarchal image of a father God, unquote. Korean theologian Chung Kyung Kyung urged Christians to adopt a new trinity composed of Buddhist, Hindu, and Filipino goddesses. Catholicism is a jump ahead. Its Mary, a goddess suitable for all religions, is already adored by a quarter of the earth's population. Moreover, her ability to command the loyalty of multitudes has been demonstrated on a national level for centuries. Quote, Mary was declared Queen of the Ukrainian people in 1037, and Hungary was dedicated to her by King Saint Stephen at about the same time. Richard II solemnly consecrated England to Mary as her dowry in 1381. France was consecrated to Mary in 1638 by the order of Louis XIII, who said, quote, we consecrate to her particularly our person, our state, our crown, and our subjects, unquote. Poland in 1656 by King Casimir, all of the South American Spanish colonies were dedicated to Mary through a solemn consecration in 1643, at the command of King Philip IV, and in 1664 the same, quote, was done for Portugal and all her colonies at the instigation of King John IV, Austria the following year, unquote. In 1846, the bishops of America wrote, quote, we place ourselves and all entrusted to our charge under the special patronage of the Holy Mother of God, unquote. That they're dedicating the whole world to the Sacred Heart of Mary, a God that every religion can embrace. Mary is going to play a principal role, the goddess of the Queen of Heaven is going to play a principal role in the New Age, in the New World Order. Again, I will recommend the most excellent video on YouTube entitled Messages from Heaven. You want to see what role Mary plays around the world, and I'm telling you, it's an eye-opener. Messages from Heaven. Sometime this weekend, go to YouTube and type in Messages from Heaven and watch that video. It's lengthy, it's detailed, and it'll answer all your questions about what role Mary is going to play in the New World Order. Fantastic video. Now, what about Mary's role in Islam? Dave attacks this. We've run out of time. We'll give it the best we can for what time's left. It's easy to imagine Buddhists, Hindus, New Agers, and liberals, as well as both Catholics and Protestants, uniting in a world religion. But the billion Muslims pose a special problem. And how is that problem going to be handled? Well, it's already been handled. The Quran mentions Mary often. And the Muslims venerate Mary and worship her. They regard her as being immaculately conceived and a virgin. It's all in the bank.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.